Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
I remember a season where I hadn't been sleeping because my baby was awake all night.
This is Focus on the Family Minute as Ashley Duran shares encouragement for exhausted moms.
And I read the verse in Isaiah that says, "Come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest."
And every mom said, "Amen."
Yes,
I'm weary.
And I realized that not only was I physically tired, I was spiritually and emotionally tired. I hadn't been taking a rest for my soul and spending time with the Lord. And that it was okay to ask somebody for help, to say, "I really need a rest, and I need you to come sit with my baby for an hour or 2 hours, and it's okay to go get your hair done, get your nails done, spend a time reading the Bible, or take a nap."
More encouragement for being a strong mom at FamilyMinute.org.
Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
Paul Harvey's The Rest of the Story, brought to you by Frontier Floors and Window Coverings at 830 21st Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-7878 or online at frontierfloors.net.
Of the story. Tony pulled the trigger. The BB gun recoiled with a sharp jolt from its spring, and 10 yards away, a tiny sparrow fluttered and fell from its perch. The boy ran to pick it up, and as he held it, the bird was gasping its last precious breaths, and then suddenly the little creature lay still in his cupped hands. There was no reason for what Tony had done, and then and there he knew it. And then and there he decided he would never go hunting again. The 12-year-old's tears have long since dried, and yet the ache in his heart never quite went away. It remains to remind, and it does remind him, and it has inspired one of the world's most influential animal advocates. In fact, Tony would rather be late to work than leave one of his pets unattended. He and wife Elaine and their two daughters have quite a menagerie to attend, 4 adopted cats and 2 toy poodles rescued from a circus, a once homeless snake named Romeo and a white rat named Juliet. You can't tell Tony that circuses treat their animals well. His two dogs are ample evidence to the contrary. One of them so physically abused, a toy poodle now, that an extensive series of surgeries was necessary to heal his hurts. The other dog has been so traumatized that now, even after 4 years of tender, loving care, Tony still has to crouch down on the floor beside her and soothingly coax her into eating. Neither animal had ever seen a veterinarian until Tony and Elaine took him in. The couple have been active in what they call the animal protection movement for more than 15 years. Of the many issues comprised therein, anti-fur has become a priority for Tony. With a marketplace brimming with effective alternatives, fur is clearly no longer needed for warmth or for adornment, he says. Neither he nor Elaine would ever buy a dog or a cat from a pet store. Too many abandoned animals who need homes, they insist. In fact, it was they who, following last year's San Francisco earthquake, started a fund to care for the many animals who were lost or injured during that disaster. Their children, 10-year-old Bianca and Devin, age 7, are following closely in their parents' footsteps. Instead of collecting Halloween candy, they trick-or-treat for donations to the local SPCA. And, of course, they're included when the family participates in public demonstrations for animal rights, whether it means carrying signs or marching in the rain. Last Thanksgiving weekend, Tony spoke for the voiceless to an enthusiastic crowd in Northern California. He reminded the assembled of those who had needlessly suffered and died that year, 100,000 elephants for their ivory, 23 million animals from the steel jaws of traps, another 80 million in the hands of fur ranchers, 400 million by the weapons of hunters. For once upon a time, there was a very small hunter named Tony, who fired a BB into the breast of a sparrow. And saddened thereby, he was to devote a large part of his life to proclaiming the anguish of those who cannot. Tony's fight on their behalf is one he means to win. And Tony, as you will realize in about 17 seconds from now, is a man who knows about winning. For this gentleman with strength to spare and to share is also the uncompromising baseball field marshal who led his Oakland A's to last year's World Series championship, manager Tony La Russa. And now you know the rest of the story.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL brought to you by Buy the Book Heating and Air, your local reliable heating and air expert. Call 805-423-5119.
238-5775. 238-KPRL. Sound Off continues on KPRL, the North County's number one choice for news, talk, and sports. This is Sound Off on the right choice, KPRL.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Vealey, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoon. I'm also an investigative reporter with Cal Coast News. Go to Cal Coast News. We have no paywall. And today I have on the show, I have Josh Friedman. He works with Cal Coast News. He just wrote a story about Ukraine. I also have Dave Duringer. And Dave, I'm going to have you take a few minutes now and explain what you do. He's an attorney in San Luis Obispo County. He teaches classes in both Atascadero and Morro Bay regarding
comprehensive estate planning, which is what I do. And thanks.
But guns, there's some firearm training you give also, correct?
Yeah, it's actually a blend of defensive handgun training under time pressure, really high-end advanced concealed carry techniques, open carry techniques, the defensive handgun training under time pressure that, drills that most people have never had training on. Even if you have a CCW, you probably have not had this training in your required statutory class. I used to teach those statutory classes down in Orange County for the sheriff down there. But up here, I just do the drills with people, and it's actually an important feature of my client maintenance plan. My maintenance plan is actually free to clients if they pass my handgun skills test. And, the more they pass it, the bigger the discounts are. So it's actually integral to my practice. But I've got public classes. You don't have to be a client to attend my public classes, both at Atascadero at the chamber headquarters. I do it once a month on a Friday morning. And, it's Atascadero Chamber is pretty easy to find. It's a nice conference room there. I've been doing that for about a half year now. Works out very well. And then I also do it in my office in Morro Bay, slightly different formats in each, but they have the same handgun training. I've really improved the format of my training. And in Atascadero, I've got a friend helping me. He actually used to be a supervisor at FrontSight, which is a school where I trained at for over 20 years. What I do as a lawyer, it's tough to get it across with my commercials. Commercials work great for, name recognition, but I really need to get people into my classes to really understand what I do, which is really different than other trust attorneys. I only take clients if they're very serious about protecting the inheritance that they're leaving. I'm also a tax lawyer, so I can do all that planning if necessary.
So you're focused on making sure the money goes to their children or their families or who they want to leave their money to?
Not just money, but life, fortune, and honor. I want to help families grow family power by transmitting life, fortune, and honor to their descendants. That includes not just the money and protecting that from the beneficiaries, creditors, and predators, and even from the beneficiaries themselves, squandering, prodigality, but also values transmission, which is very important. Firearm training is a part of that, a very important part, because our whole rule of law, our basis, every financial advisor out there should be advising clients that their economic well-being is tied to the right to bear arms and how many people in society take it seriously, because that is the basis for our rule of law. Back in 2020, I was running for city council because I was frustrated. My daughter was in Cal Poly, and I was worried that they're trying to force her to take this experimental injection. What's our defense against that? Our defense is having a sheriff that is willing to say no to fascism. But that sheriff has a lot more courage if he has a trained public ready to step up in a voluntary posse. Involuntary posses are now illegal in California, but the sheriff can always call a voluntary posse to fight against COVID fascism or other, you know, other things coming down the pipe. Forced elimination of homeschooling, et cetera.
How do people find, how do they sign up for your classes? Where do they go?
I have one website, lawnews.tv. I've got a million domain names that go to different pages.
Say that again?
Lawnews.tv is my main domain, but my training page you can get to directly by typing in guntrust.org. And it's all my training is free. There's no charge for it. And importantly, no firearms are used. I use very realistic airsofts. And you can actually, I've got a video on that page showing how well this Japanese kid did competing with live firearms here in the States. He trained his whole life with airsofts in Japan, comes here and performs very well with a real firearm. So you can train very well with these realistic airsofts I have, but there's no bang, no cleanup. It's very easy. I want to get the wives in so that they can embarrass their husbands, because there's a lot of gun owners in North County that grew up with hunting, but I can tell you hardly anybody has had any defensive training, and they could really benefit from this kind of training. It's all free.
And I have one quick question. I was reading something and somebody said somebody got ready to drive away and then pointed as they were driving away and turning out of the parking lot, turned around and pointed a rifle at them. That takes two hands, correct? You can't drive and turn around a corner while you're trying to shoot a rifle out a window. Just a question.
Well, is there a pistol grip on it? How heavy is the rifle? They're short barrel rifles.
I think a full hunting rifle. But yeah, it was just a question. You had something you wanted to ask Josh.
Oh yeah, I've been curious. There seems to have been a major shift in strategy. Ukraine recently, just the last few weeks, has gone really heavily after logistics along G18, I think is a highway, whatever. The main highway between Melitopol and Crimea. Basically, Russia can no longer safely transport any supplies to Crimea. So is this preparatory toward an invasion? Is there any talk about that at this Crimea conference or Black Sea conference?
No, but I don't think such plans would be disclosed. But
not just Crimea, but Kherson, Melitopol.
Well, there's a lot of talk about Kherson, and the Russians are right on the, I believe it's the left bank, I forget which bank, but they're right on the other side of the river in Kherson. So there's an island within Kherson that's
the spit
occupied. So realistically, Ukraine is nowhere near to the point where it could mount an invasion of Crimea, because there are Russian troops and fortifications that are blocking the path for a long way. But as you said, Ukraine's cutting off access to Crimea via that highway, via the land bridge. Mm-hmm. So I don't think the strategy is to right now try to mount some new offensive, at least not mount a land offensive in the area, but maybe there's going to be some broader aerial bombardment or offensive. But no, there weren't any plans given away at the conference.
Well, Zelensky's been talking about pressing for peace.
It's really clear, though, that the Russians, and for those who aren't aware, Kherson is in the southeast of Ukraine, and it's the region essentially borders Crimea. So the Russians in the occupied Kherson Oblast stand in between the Ukrainian military as well as the Ukrainian civilians are trying to live there and Crimea. But
I think Melitopol might be a better target, because it would cut off that land route.
Well, the aim in what year was that? 2023? Was it 2024? I think 2023, the aim was for that Ukrainian offensive to get to Melitopol to split the Russian occupation of the land bridge area, but that failed. And right now it's hard enough for for the Ukrainians just to defend their own civilians living in Kherson. So it's not like I see an offensive to go take back Crimea is about to happen, but I have heard some analysts, I don't know how seriously to take them, basically guys on YouTube, talking about how Ukraine, through aerial bombardment, could make Crimea basically uninhabitable and make it so that Russia can't bring supplies there and reinforce the troops that it's got there. So eventually, somehow, that would lead to Ukraine kicking the Russians out of Crimea. But I'm not
sure. The gas lines are already horrendous.
What to make of it and how that could all unfold.
So you're saying,
I don't think we're on the verge of that happening.
Well, life is already pretty difficult there, you know, gas lines and so forth. It's already falling apart there, I think.
Are you seeing that while you're there, Josh? Are there shortages of things like gas and groceries?
Crimea.
Oh, Crimea.
Well, we're talking about Crimea and potentially Russian occupied areas near Crimea. Mm-hmm. But there are all kinds of problems. There are problems unfolding in Russia proper. No, there's no shortage of gas. There's no shortage of gas here. Grocery shelves are stocked. No, none of those issues exist in Ukraine. I mean, that's not to say that life is easy for people here. It's not. Life is quite expensive for most people here. Ukraine's not in amazing economic shape, but no, things aren't falling apart like that in Ukraine.
And so in Crimea though there are gas lines and issues there, you've heard.
Definitely.
Yeah. And Josh, you were telling me the interesting thing at the Black Sea Forum, Black Fleet Forum, what is it called?
Black Sea.
And
Black Sea Security Forum.
You also talked about there was one of the early days that you were there, you had Trump's pastor, but there were some talks about the attacks on people who are Christians and a little bit of also Jews. What is going on with the Russians in the occupied territory in Russia with that, and what was brought up about that during the forum?
Well, as I alluded to earlier, it's an interesting time to bring this up because right now Russia is having its St. Petersburg, the international, what do they call it, investment forum or
Davos?
I'm drawing a blank. It's sure they can refer to it as their version of Davos, where it's kind of less of an economic forum at the moment and more of a political thing supporting the war effort. But they have some American influencers there trying to sell Russia as this country of traditional Christian values. So that's why I'm saying it's kind of interesting to bring it up at the moment. But no, this is in reference to a presentation, or rather a panel discussion that took place outside the conference. And there were several religious leaders there. They're all Ukrainian religious leaders, except for Pastor Mark Burns, who came from the U.S. And a large portion of the presentation was about persecution of various Christian denominations by the Russian government and military, what life was like for pastors in 2022, right after the large-scale invasion, when pastors of various churches that were in the occupied territories ended up having soldiers come into their church and basically dictate to them what had to be done, and then get kicked out. There was one pastor who was profiled in a short film that was produced who walked through the gray zone, basically the battlefield, in I think February or March of 2022, and narrowly managed to escape after being run out of his church by the Russian military. And then there were others at this event who, one of them might have been in the Dnipro region. There was a pastor from a Zaporizhia region church that had been shelled. Multiple churches had been shelled, and then the head rabbi from Kyiv, basically the head rabbi of Ukraine, he was there too, and he's been a very vocal supporter of Ukraine all throughout the war. And he's the one who Mark Burns credited with basically changing his mind. Pastor Mark Burns talked about how he used to be on Fox News and maybe other television networks talking about his America First principles and why that should mean no military support for Ukraine or no support for Ukraine at all. And he credited the head rabbi here as having invited him to come to Ukraine to see things for himself. And he says that changed his perspective. And I think he said that he was on a trip to India with Trump at the time that he received the invitation to come to Ukraine. So it was an interesting side event here. And some of the pastors had very interesting stories to tell. And maybe I'll be able to visit one or two of their churches in the near future.
Well, yeah, the isolationist wing of MAGA for a long time was pushing the nonsense that Ukraine was banning Christianity, which is utter nonsense. The Russian Orthodox Church is basically a wing of the KGB, or has been, not now FSB, but Ukraine was simply trying to get the Moscow Patriarchate to stop their activities on behalf of Russia. So maybe Mark Burns was a part of that originally. There's still a lot of that hula crap being spread.
We're going to take a break, a word from our sponsors, and we'll be back with more with Dave and Josh.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Maria Bartiromo, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Quantinuum's trading debut is stellar. The quantum computing startup stock opening at $68 per share, 13% above its IPO price. SpaceX's IPO continues to be the talk of the town. JP Morgan is throwing an event Thursday night to promote it to its high net worth clients and everyday investors. JP Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon slated to speak at the event. Wall Street ending Thursday with a mixed session, as financial and healthcare stocks led the way. Goldman Sachs and Blackstone stock both climbing Thursday. Shares of United Health and Humana also jumping. Cooling oil prices also fueling the Dow's surge. The Dow skyrocketing 875 points. S&P gaining 31. NASDAQ losing 23. And that's your Fox Business Report. I'm Laura Cantor, invested in you.
Most investments today feel like second jobs. Real estate? You're a landlord. Stocks? You're a day trader. Crypto? You're a full-time researcher. You've got a life to live. Your investment should help you live it. That's why more Americans are choosing gold. Noble Gold has helped thousands protect their future with real physical gold. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com to get your free wealth protection kit. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
Do you worry about where to take your car for repairs? Who you can trust? Mike and his team at the Autobahn are a safe bet. Located in Templeton, behind the donut shop, just off Main Street. They service Mercedes, BMWs, Volkswagens, Porsches, and Audis. and the Autobahn is certified in those cars and in repairing Land Rovers, Volvos, and Mini Coopers. Call the Autobahn, 434-2200.
Hi, this is Chris from We Help You Legal. Legal documents should be simple and affordable. At We Help You Legal, there are no lawyers and no high costs, just certified experts to assist you with living trusts, wills, divorce matters, corporations, and LLCs.
Hi, I'm Christina. We also offer notary services. You can find us online at wehelpyoulegal.com or call 805-237-7770.
We Help You Legal, your Central Coast legal document company.
The Sound Off lines are open at 238-5775, 238-KPRL. The North County's listening to you on Sound Off.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Vealey, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. We're talking with Josh Friedman, who's with Cal Coast News. He's over in Ukraine. He's been covering some of the big events in that area, and got a lot of information and an opinion piece on, a news article on Cal Coast News regarding what is going on in Ukraine. I also have local attorney David Duringer. He recently put out an opinion piece on Cal Coast News called Woke Rights Ukraine Myths, and he put up a number of things that are some of the myths about Ukraine, and there are a lot of myths. I'm telling you how I see it, and I'm probably not the same as everyone else or even close. But I see you have Russia, you have China, and you have Iran, which would like to harm the United States, and I see you have certain countries that are trying to stop some, when you're taken over, if you have a country, go into a country and try to just take it over and occupy, I believe it's an issue, but I'm sure a lot of people don't agree with me. David, can you bring up a couple of the things that you think are major myths that people should know about?
Yeah, so I appreciate it, thanks. The article is up there, I think in two or three parts. So part of it's up there now, I think, or will be soon. And
part of it's up now, and the other half will be up soon.
Yeah. So actually, I'm not sure. I do have it in probably coming in the next part. But there's one in particular that I want to talk about a little bit. But just overall, generally, Russia is the best at propaganda, and their goal in propaganda, since Soviet times and maybe before that, is not to convince us completely, but just to cause enough doubt to create fissures in our society, to weaken our resolve. And that's been their game plan for a long time. And they've done that with what I call the isolationist wing of MAGA, which I believe Trump has had to speak to and play to. I don't believe Trump is one of them. I believe that Trump is very good and basically another Reagan. Even better than Reagan, I think he's really good for Ukraine and Europe. But a lot of the propaganda that Russia has used, I call it Putler prop, against Ukraine is to try to, a lot of it is to try to portray Ukraine as not Christian, or a bad country, corrupt, the most corrupt country in the world, for example, which is false. There's one in particular that really bugs me. Since the early days, there are even some local anti-Ukraine people that I used to be very well connected to, but they're really viciously anti-Ukraine because of how they've been brainwashed by this propaganda. And one in particular is this video of Zelensky, who used to be a comedian, Saturday Night Live type comedian, very popular. It's a video of him, waving his tongue around lasciviously. You watch it as an American of 2026, and you think that maybe it's a video of Zelensky promoting homosexuality or, that kind of conduct. And those are American eyes making that false interpretation. But Ukraine, you have to understand it from the Ukraine point of view. Ukraine is the most or one of the most Christian nations on the planet. And maybe not in terms of church attendance, but you can't just measure it that way because, you know, my wife's family, it was illegal for them to go to church, so they practiced it privately. My daughter grew up playing with a neighborhood Orthodox priest and knew his kids. It's a very different way to practice religion. And plus, if they do attend church, they're liable to be bombed. As Josh was mentioning, you know, churches are being targeted. So you can't go by church attendance. It is by far more Christian than Russia, despite all the propaganda we've been getting for decades. So the Ukrainian, you know, when we were much younger, when I was younger, it was okay to use epithets against homosexuals. I won't use the word here, but begins with F. And it was very common to use that phrase. It's not something, a word I use, but that kind of humor and talk is still the norm in Ukraine. And it is perfectly fine. My daughter has verified this, even her, you know, Gen Z cohorts in Ukraine. You know, they engage in this humor all the time. So when a Ukrainian watches that video, they see something completely different. It's just Zelensky making fun of these people. And, you know, Zelensky is actually trying to appease the EU on a number of things, you know, that plus guns. And so he's, you know, not completely Christian in those methods. Anyway, I just want to point that out, describe that out a little bit. You have to engage in some critical thinking beyond what is being spoon-fed to you. A lot of people on the right are just getting this Russian propaganda spoon-fed and they're spreading it.
And one of the things, and Josh, you brought this up with me when you were first going over there, there were a lot of arguments that the Ukrainians were Nazis, and that's why Russia said they went in. Can you address that? Josh?
I can talk about that if he is
okay. Is he still on the phone? Josh? I don't hear him. Okay.
Yeah, if he calls in, let me know.
I think he's still on there. I don't know why I'm not hearing him.
Yeah, that's a...
He was basically, there are no more, we have Nazis in our country. Just because we have some Nazis doesn't make us a Nazi country. But go ahead.
Yeah, every country has a few Nazis, including Russia, by the way. There's a video of Russian soldiers with the same patches, Nazi-themed patches, et cetera, that Ukrainian soldiers have been filmed with. This is common in Eastern Europe to borrow those symbols, which predate the Nazis, by the way. They're ancient Eastern European symbols. Even Finland, their air force, just recently, everybody realized that there's a Nazi symbol on the Finnish Air Force's logo. So they had to get rid of that in a panic. It's a common thing. And it doesn't mean that they're Nazis, at least not in the same way we view Nazis. Some of them might have some affinity toward that, but it's not to kill Jews or anything like that. I think the anti-Semitism in Ukraine is much lighter. It's more economic. The Jews have all the money or something.
Josh, can you hear me? Josh? I don't know what's wrong with the connection. I think I'm going to drop it and let him call back in. Josh, can you hear me? Okay, he'll call back if it's working.
So a lot of people on our side, on my side, the Republican Party, the isolationist wing of MAGA, they're not even aware, because of the Russian propaganda, they're not even aware that Zelensky is Jewish. And so Zelensky is, he's a Jewish leader, mostly secular, although he has stated clearly he does believe in God. But he grew up Jewish, Hanukkah, you know, Jewish celebrations, but as a civic leader, he gives great speeches on Christmas and Easter, and he understands the Christian faith. It's a very Christian country, so he's steeped in that. So it's like we have Jewish actors doing Christmas movies, so it's not surprising. Do you need to switch?
Josh, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, I don't know what was happening. I was hitting the button and I couldn't hear him. We were bringing up some of the notions, and when this whole thing started, Russia really pushed it you know, it was all about the Nazis in Ukraine. And I remember at the time you told me it's no different than any other country.
I don't know if I said that. There are definitely people in Ukraine who have some sort of Nazi or neo-Nazi sympathies, but there are also people in many other countries that have Nazi or neo-Nazi sympathies. Like, I remember vaguely not too long ago, I believe Golden Dawn in Greece, which is a neo-Nazi party, was actually in the parliament there, but Russia didn't feel the need to, say, bomb Athens. It's a really complicated issue. There have been a lot of spats including recently between Ukraine and Israel over what happened during World War II, recently as well between Ukraine and Poland. But it's just one of all kinds of justifications that Russia threw out there hoping it would stick. I mean, I guess there's a little, there's more meaning within Russian society to the so-called Nazi issue. Granted, there are Nazis or new Nazis in Russia too, than say the biolabs, which was one of many things that Russia threw out there in 2022 trying to.
And let's hit on the biolabs. I want to hear what both of you think about the biolabs.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes that's all the isolationists can say is biolabs, but they don't even understand what's behind their exclamation. The U.S. set up biolabs all around the periphery of the former Soviet Union to protect against misuse and proliferation of bioweapons after the fall of the Soviet Union. But Russia has turned that around to be, you know, Ukraine has a biolab there to threaten Russia, when in reality they're all over the world.
Is that still something that's being thrown out there, Josh, or is Russia stopping?
No, they basically dropped the biolab issue a few years ago. I've heard from someone here, I don't know to what extent it's true, but it's a pretty simple explanation that seemed to make sense to me, which is kind of a la we were talking about the drones earlier. There's much less red tape, and it's much easier to do this kind of research in a country where there aren't the regulatory hurdles that there would be in the U.S. But that doesn't provide justification for Russia invading Ukraine, nor was there any clear imminent threat to Russia posed by any biolab activity here in Ukraine.
Sort of the biggest issue currently that's ongoing is corruption. I still see on Newsmax the host throw out this, you know, epithet. You know, Ukraine is one of the most corrupt countries in the world. And what do you think about that, Josh? I mean, I look at the corruption rankings, and Ukraine is almost, I think it's exactly the same corruption rating as Argentina, but yet Argentina is a darling of the right, but they claim Ukraine is the most corrupt country in the world, as if it's an argument against assisting them to defend against genocide.
Well, I definitely don't think Ukraine's the most corrupt country in the world, but I think unlike a lot of corrupt countries, Ukraine is really trying to do a lot to battle corruption.
That's the key, the direction.
As some other countries in the region have done, and this is partly because of the EU, Ukraine's implemented this anti-corruption agency or agencies, and there have been multiple scandals with regard to them over the past couple years, but very recently, actually, since I've been here, Andrei Yermak, the former head of Zelensky's administration, has been indicted because of a case investigated by the anti-corruption authority, and he's going through criminal proceedings in court over that. And some people argue that based on tapes and based on some shady real estate dealings in that case, that it ties in Zelensky. Zelensky's been denying it. But regardless, this case, I'm forgetting, if it amounts to $9 million or something like that. So, this this is kind of minor with respect to massive corruption that it's alleged. This doesn't prove anything with regard to siphoning of tax dollars coming from the U.S. for military purposes here, but I think simply put, the Ukrainian society is...
Hey, Josh, I've got to take a quick word from our sponsors, and then we'll be back with one last segment with Josh and David.
Do you use propane? At Delta Liquid Energy, you can pre-buy your winter propane gallons to lock in your price. Fuel prices fluctuate, so with Delta Liquid Energy, you can take advantage of potential pre-buy savings. To learn more, contact Delta Liquid Energy before June 30th. Family-owned and operated, call Delta Liquid Energy 805-239-0616 or go online to deltaliquidenergy.com. Listen to this real Paso Robles Glass customer where they installed 23 replacement Milgard Tuscany windows and two sliding doors.
Steve Eklund, Craig Smith as an architect and a proud and honored client of Paso Robles Glass. Hey, the boys are doing a great job. They just left. Everything is just fine. Extremely good crew. You got that crew is exceptional. They're all hardworking guys, very careful, very cautious. All is good. I think they have one more day tomorrow, wrap it up, the finished work. I'd like to set up a time to come up and see you next week. I've got a big, big project I'd like you to look at for me. Whatever works on your end, just wanted to let you know, Steve. Take care. Bye.
Get rid of your old broken windows and get new Milgard energy-efficient windows and doors with Milgard's ironclad lifetime warranty.
When it comes to selling your home in the North County, one agent can only do so much.
That's why we show up as a team.
I'm Seth Peek.
And I'm Karen Peek.
And we're the Peek team.
And equal partners in every sale.
Pricing, marketing, negotiations.
We both do it all.
Two professionals reviewing every detail.
Two voices advocating for you at every step.
We tag team the work.
So nothing gets missed.
One mission.
Sell your home with minimized headaches.
We're the Peek team.
At Peek Realty.
And we work together for you.
Thinking about selling your home in North County? Reach the Peek team at Peek Realty. Just Google Peek Realty. That's P-E-E-K Realty. The Peek team at Peek Realty live wonderfully on the Central Coast.
DRE number 021-99910.
Well, Rich London, it's spring. If I need a mattress, why should I spring into the mattress specialist?
If you look around, you're going to see mattresses everywhere in this store.
We're talking to Rich London, the mattress specialist.
They are stacked up almost to the ceiling, and I'm not kidding. And they're all on sale right now because I've got too much stock and I need to move it. So come on down quick and save big.
Enjoy the special springtime savings at the mattress specialist at 13th and Riverside in Paso Robles.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Vealey, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. I'm also an investigative reporter with Cal Coast News. Josh, can you hear me? Josh, can you hear me? Why is this?
Yes, I can hear you, Karen.
Okay.
Yes, I can hear you, Karen.
Okay, I was going to say, you know, we keep saying, yeah, there are problems with corruption, but look at us. Look at the U.S. Right now, they just put Becerra in as one of the top two likely to go on the governor's race. And remember the chief of staff that did the corruption under Newsom, tied to that. You have Cal Poly. There was one corruption thing. There's another one coming out. Someone else sold about $250,000 from a department. Guess what? That doesn't make Cal Poly bad. Cleaning it up and trying to get it done, I think, is the issue. David, do you think it's, what do you think the biggest issues are?
Well, Well, thanks. I just want to get a few things out on corruption. I don't know how much time we have left for it, but there's just a lot of misunderstanding and, as I call it, prudler prop on this stuff. But you know, people hear that Ukrainian money, a Ukrainian company, Burisma, gave money, supposedly a bribe to Hunter Biden. Probably was a bribe. It was a Ukrainian company run by a Ukrainian oligarch. Zlochevsky is his name, but he's a pro-Russian Ukrainian. He actually was a member of Party of the Regions. He's a supporter. I think he was actually an office holder or minister under Yanukovych, who now is hiding in Moscow. So people hear there was a Ukrainian company paying the Bidens, but no, it was ostensibly Ukrainian, but really pro-Russian Ukrainian oligarch. And then also it was actually a Russian oligarch, Lushkov's wife. Lushkov was the mayor of Moscow. I believe she paid money, maybe not directly, but it was to a company related to the Bidens. I think it was $1 million, maybe a couple million. So it was Russian money going to the corrupt Biden administration. So lots of corruption in Ukraine, but it's not endemic. It's endemic to Ukrainian society now, but it didn't come from Ukrainian culture. It came from Russian Soviet culture, Russian before that. It's not Ukrainian. It's Russian corruption, and Ukraine is trying to improve. They have improved it because they want to be members of the EU. And as far as Zelensky's involvement, I don't think that he's been tied to anything yet, but I wouldn't be surprised if he is. It's, you know, when we first started visiting Ukraine, I've been there half a dozen times, and we'd have to go to the doctor. We'd have to bring a bottle of vodka. It's just the way things work there. And Zelensky was put in. He was supported by Kolomoisky, a major oligarch. And now Zelensky has Kolomoisky under house arrest. There's supposedly some $40 million or something in the Panama Papers that went from Kolomoisky to Zelensky. He has to protect his family somehow. I don't blame him for wanting to do that. And Kolomoisky is, they're all Jewish, Zelensky, Kolomoisky. Kolomoisky is the man who saved Ukraine. He's responsible for putting Private Sector, other militias in place that saved Dnipro area, eastern Ukraine. And so this idea that the that Private Sector, Azov Battalion, are Nazis, they're definitely not anti-Semitic Nazis, at least not on a serious level, because they got along fine. They still get along fine with Zelensky, and Kolomoisky actually formed them, created them. So there's just so much disinformation that we are defenseless against, lack of critical thinking on the right on so many issues, including this voting for Hilton over Bianco is nonsense.
And Josh, were they critical during the forum? Were people critical of Trump, or did they like Trump?
Oh, Trump. I thought you were asking about corruption. Though I've been at other Ukrainian conferences where people are critical of corruption, and as I was briefly saying before, I think Ukrainians as a whole tend to be pretty open and acknowledge that there's corruption in society and that they want to root it out, that they want to clean it up. But with regard to Trump, there was definitely some bad mouthing, trash talking to Trump. The senator I couldn't think of earlier was Kelly. From Arizona. Mark Kelly's from Arizona, right? At some point, I think he was attacking. There were definitely Democrats at this event who were attacking Trump, and there are a lot of people in Ukraine who are fed up with Trump or dislike Trump. Trump is not very popular here at the moment. But there were, as I mentioned, there were also people there who are outright close to Trump, or at least claim to be, like Pastor Mark Burns. I believe Eric Prince got some ties to Trump. So it was there was a mix. It wasn't a Trump bashing conference, but I did hear on and off Europeans grumbling about the situation in the U.S. and things revolving, things surrounding Trump. There were definitely people critical of Trump at the conference, which was no surprise, but it wasn't nonstop Trump bashing.
Were they also critical of the Iran war, or were they supportive?
the Democratic politicians who spoke, from what I recall, they were critical, and I think they all opposed it. I forget who it was. It might have been Kelly or Blumenthal, called it a war of choice. And there were definitely comments, as we spoke about earlier, about how the U.S. could have studied the battlefield here in Ukraine and could have been more prepared for the war. But I don't remember individually what each senator or congressman said about Iran, but the ones who spoke about it, I believe they were all critical, which is no surprise. It was no surprise that Kelly Blumenthal, Gallegos was at one side event. I don't remember if he spoke on stage, but it was no surprise that they were going to be critical of Trump.
Was everyone critical? Were people from other countries critical of the war in Iran?
Well, that's what I was about to say. The one guy who was certainly not critical of it was Reza Pahlavi. For those of you who aren't aware, probably aware of who he is at this point, Crown Prince, exiled Crown Prince of Iran, who...
He's been a big supporter of Ukraine.
It was an interesting discussion between him and Alexei Goncharenko, who was the host of the forum. That was the final discussion of the forum, and he was Reza Pahlavi was an unannounced guest. He came and spoke. He did a session. He gave a speech and then did a session where it was just him and Alexei Goncharenko talking. And I thought Alexei Goncharenko asked some very fair questions about problems with how things have gone in the war with Iran, which Reza Pahlavi, if you're not aware, is a huge supporter, and he kept saying to finish the job. But Goncharenko was asking Reza Pahlavi for specifics, like, how do you right the ship? I'm just paraphrasing that the war hasn't gone as planned. Like, what do you do about that? And I think, at least to me, Reza Pahlavi came across as very short on specifics. A lot of generalities about needing to finish the job and democracies needing to band together to fight autocracies, and people were supportive in that regard. Reza Pahlavi was supportive of Ukraine, and Goncharenko, kind of speaking for Ukrainians, was supportive of the idea of overthrowing or destroying the Iranian regime. But from a Ukrainian perspective, he was also saying, well, this isn't exactly going so well, and the price of oil is high, which helps Russia, and the Iranian regime arguably is stronger at this point. So it was an interesting discussion, but from my vantage point, I wasn't terribly impressed with Reza Pahlavi's answers.
Interesting. Josh, we're about at the end of the show. I want to thank you very much for agreeing to come in and to give us the updates on what's going on in Ukraine. I find it very fascinating. And Dave, I want to thank you for coming on the show and talking about what you know about Ukraine. I think it's a major issue in this world. And remind everyone, how do they get a hold of you as a lawyer? What kind of law you practice, and what you do with guns?
Well, just the best thing for me is to get you into my free class. So guntrust.org is the domain. And remember, both guns and trusts can be dangerous to your family. They can both protect your family, but they can both be dangerous to your family if you're not trained. Neither your gun nor your trust is going to hop out of that drawer and take care of things on its own. So guntrust.org.
Thank you, Josh, for calling in, and I will see you next week. Tune in to Sound Off tomorrow with Darsha and Kenny Enney.
The This hour of Sound Off was brought to you by Mid-State Precious Metals across the parking lot from the movie theater in Atascadero. Honest, veteran-owned. Buy or sell precious metals with integrity. Monday through Friday, 10 to 3.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.